All right, you get to see Morning Me this morning, but I think this is an important one to share with you because I'm pretty sure that this is a weird that most of you don't have. I, for some reason, am compelled to eat food in pairs, particularly cookies. I feel like it's, I don't know, I can't eat just one cookie by itself. My wife was nice enough to give me one cookie, and I just looked at her, and she knew that she had to give me another cookie because I can't just eat one. I mean, I get it. It's kind of weird. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's like the Bob Ross, like every tree needs a friend. I feel like the cookie might be lonely. As I'm saying this out loud, I realize how ridiculous it is, but that doesn't, I still do it. So help me out here. I mean, this could be worse, right? I mean, just two cookies at a time. That's not that weird, right?
I guarantee you someone is coming up to me at the end of the worship service saying, I do the same thing. Thank you, Lori Hall. I appreciate that. I appreciate your honesty and your testimony there. Like these videos, you got to understand, this is the tip of the weird iceberg here, right? Like, you don't even know what's under the water level. It's crazy. But, no, seriously, this is a real thing in my house, and my wife, like, takes it upon herself to mess with me in this regard. Like, even to the point, like, I'll be honest with you, so, Girl Scout cookies, that kind of stuff, do you know that there are some containers of Girl Scout cookies that they actually sell some containers of Girl Scout cookies in odd numbers? Why in the world would you do that? Like, I don't even get it, y'all. I don't even get it. And most of you are like, who's counting cookies? Just eat them, bro. Like, come on. I get it. Like, but we all do weird stuff, right? Like, we all got weird stuff. I got another one that didn't even make the video thing. Like, right now, so I have, like, a light blue sock on, right? It's a dress sock. It almost matches what I'm wearing today, right? I'm going to wear these socks all day long. I'm just letting you know right now. I will change my clothes when I get home. I will not change my socks. I don't know why. That, to me, seems like way overboard when it comes to just, now you're just creating more laundry for yourself, right? I'm telling you, like, I get when I say it out loud that it seems, like, ridiculous. That does not change the fact that it is a real thing in my life. And so, like, you can come over to my house this evening, and I'm telling you right now, I'm going to have these same socks on, probably with a pair of tennis shoes, and you're just going to have to get over it. I'm just telling you right now. It's weird, and I know it, and that's just part of my testimony, right? We all have weird stuff that we do. This month, we have been looking at some of the weird things that that Christians do, right? People who follow Jesus do stuff that looks kind of weird, particularly for people who don't follow Jesus. You know, if you tell people that you, like, trust God with your life, like, to help you make decisions in your life, some people are going to think that's really weird. They're gonna think it's weird that you give money with the church or that you love your enemy. Like, that, these are kind of weird things for people who aren't Jesus followers. Today, as we are kind of moving toward Thanksgiving in particular, we're gonna sort of address the question before us, which is just simply: is it weird that we are thankful in all circumstances? Right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul tells the church there to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we're gonna unpack a little bit of what that whole God's will part of it means. But it's like, is it weird that you would give thanks in all circumstances, right? Like, even the ones that don't seem to be good for my life, like, I'm still supposed to thank God for that? That seems kind of weird, right? Why in the world would I thank God for something that I don't really particularly enjoy, or that I am not really, don't really feel like I'm getting anything from? Why, if I'm going through this hard time in my life, Why would that be God's will for my life? Why would being thankful in that situation be God's will for my life? Like, why does that even make sense? And I mean, I can understand why I would thank God when things are going well, right? Because, hey, God's blessing my life. Praise the Lord. Like, he's doing great things, and that's wonderful. But why in the world would I thank God when things aren't going well, right? I mean, shouldn't I be blaming him for letting me down or something like that? I mean, that would seem like something normal, right? Why would I thank him in those times? And how does actually being in Christ, right? The end of 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "This is God's will for you in Christ." Like, how does that in Christ part actually impact my thankful status, if you will, right? And how do we need to live that out? Last week or so, Beth and I have been blessed to have her parents here with us, and it's been really cool to visit with them and have them here. Part of what is really cool about that is that Beth's dad is a professional carpenter, right? Beth found an extra space in our house that we weren't using for anything, and so which was an attic space. I should have put pictures up there. I didn't think about that. And so she's been talking to me for a long time, actually, probably over a year, because that's how long it takes to talk to me about something before we do anything about it. And she wanted to build, to finish out this attic space. It's too big to not have something here, right? And sure enough, her parents come to town, and she just mentioned the idea to her dad, and he's like, "Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it." All right? The problem with that is it did not have a floor, right? It just had the ceiling joists from the bedroom below it, which makes it a little difficult to walk in there, by the way, unless you, go through the joists into the ceiling below. So the first thing we had to do was we actually had to put a floor in this space. It's like a 14 by 14 space on the floor. So we had to try to navigate all this stuff, and what that looked like was Dwight, who knows what he's doing, would measure, right? Okay, this is where this 2x4 needs to go. He would maybe even make a mark on it, and then he would give me the 2x4. I would take it out of the room, I would go downstairs, I would go out to the garage, I would cut the piece, only because there's really not a way I could do it wrong, right? And then I would bring it back in the house, back up the stairs, and back over to Dwight, and then he would actually proceed to put it where it needed to be with a large amount of skill and accuracy. We did that about 40 times, by the way, right? It was great. It was great. I was crushing it on steps that day. Let me just tell you, my Fitbit was smoking. Smoking. And about the 30th time I was going up and down those stairs, I was thinking to myself, this is the project that Beth wanted done, right? I was fine with it being an attic, really. I was totally cool with that. I was totally fine. Why is she not the one up and down all these stairs, right? Why is her Fitbit not yelling at her to slow down and everything? And so while the process of getting to where we are, and hey, just so you know, we do actually have a floor. We almost have walls. It's amazing. Yeah. But the process of getting there, while it was hard, the reason that we kept going is because we know that eventually, please God, eventually we're going to have a finished product, right? We're going to have a finished room. We're going to have a space that we can use, for something that we actually kind of need. Need is such a funny word. But anyway, but because I know where we're going, because I know what the end is going to be, I can push through what is difficult in order to get to what I want to accomplish, right? In order to get to that finished product. And that is what we're going to explore today is particularly as we look at this verse of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. It's this idea that while you know, going up and down the stairs and wearing yourself out may not necessarily be God's will for your life. What you have on the other end of that is God's will for your life. So thankfulness is what helps get us from what is hard to what is God's, right? And he's certainly going to be teaching us along the way. But if we fall back from what is hard and we never push through that, then we're never actually going to get to what God has for us on the other side. Thanksgiving is, and that thankfulness is the vehicle by which moves us from what is hard to what God has designed for us. So today, we're going to look at, through several different scriptures, we're going to look at how we can push through those hard times with thankfulness in order to get to everything that God has for us. Before we jump into those scriptures, though, let's pray together. Lord God, I do thank you so much for the opportunity to meet together today. I thank you, God, for your word, and I ask, Father, that you would help us to hear from you even now. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours, that your message alone would be heard and received in this place, God. May you soften our hearts even now through the work of your Holy Spirit, God, that we would receive from you and walk in obedience to your word today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let me just clarify, first of all, that we don't necessarily need to be thankful for our circumstances that we may find ourselves in, but we can and should be thankful for what is on the other side of those circumstances. So, for example, you might find yourself in the midst of some really stressful stuff, and you may not enjoy that, you may not like that, but that and I'm not saying you have to enjoy those things, but I am saying that we can be thankful even in the midst of those struggles for what God is bringing through those circumstances. Let me just kind of run through some different scriptures here. First, out of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, first of all, like right there, like if that's not the weirdest thing you've ever read out of the Bible, I don't know what is, right? Like, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, it will be weird to people around us who aren't going to see what our faith is producing, but our thankfulness will actually push us through our trials into perseverance and into maturity and into completion. And so then we give thanks in all circumstances, even when we find ourselves in the midst of trials, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Not the circumstance itself, although God can certainly work in that, but through that circumstance that other people aren't going to see what's on the other side, we know what is there. We know that as we persevere, maturity is on the other side of those trials. And so we can, with a spirit of thanksgiving, we can move through what is difficult because we're thankful for what's on the other side of that difficulty, right? In other words, imagine it's almost like if I'm wanting to travel across here and I find myself here in a place of peace relatively and without much conflict and those kinds of things. But as I start to move across, if I find myself experiencing conflict, then I will have the choice to do one of two things. Either I'm going to go back to where I came from in order to avoid that conflict, or I'm going to push through to get to the goal that I want to accomplish. Thankfulness is what will help us. Thankfulness for what's on the other side is what helps us stay focused on our goal, so that as we go through the conflict and the stress, we don't go back to where we came from, but that we get to what God's will is for our lives. Do you see that there? So it is God's will for us not to enjoy bad things in our lives, but to get through those things in order that we might get to His full purpose for our lives. You see that? So we can consider it pure joy, not because we love to put ourselves in terrible trials and in situations, but we consider it pure joy because we know on the other side of this really difficult thing, God's will is there for us. And so we push through in thankfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness." This is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church now. "I delight in weakness, in insults, and hardships, and persecution, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Right? It's going to be weird to people who aren't going to see Christ. But our thankfulness will actually push us through our weaknesses and our difficulties into the power of God and everything that He desires to accomplish for us. Now, people around us are going to see that and they're going to think, "Oh, well, why in the world would you be thankful even though you're going through this difficulty right now? Why in the world would you be thankful even though it seems like you're sort of falling apart here? Why are you thankful if it appears that all of your weaknesses are showing?" And what I'm trying to communicate today is that as we are thankful, even in those hard circumstances, that will push us through into the strength that we really need to live on. See, if all we get is through the stress and the conflict, then all we're going to know is weakness and failure. But if through thankfulness we can push through that, then we'll actually get into the power of God Himself that shows us that we aren't weak. We are strong because we are connected to Him. You see that? Without thankfulness for where we're going, we end up stuck back where we started. And then that looks a lot like the Israelites coming out of Egypt, right? Like they go, they cross the Red Sea, like all these miracles and everything like that. But then they come to these points of stress, and all they want to do is go back to Egypt, back to slavery, because that at least was not as hard as being out here. Well, the reality is, if they just push through, like God's will is there for them on the other side. The way that they get through those hard times is just to have a mind to be thankful for what God is doing, even in difficult circumstances. Even when you feel weak, God is still at work. And so we can give thanks in all circumstances because we know God's will is on the way, right? And is even present as we go. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything," which I think is kind of a funny verse right there, right? "Do not be anxious about anything." It's in the Bible, by the way. I didn't say it. It's in the Word. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, give thanks and present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It will be weird to people around us who see all the reasons for our anxiety and probably are stuck in those points of anxiety themselves. It will be weird for them to see all of our reasons for anxiety and wonder why it is we are being thankful. However, our thankfulness will push us through anxiety, causing situations to become peace in our hearts, even when there is not peace in our environment. Did you hear that? So people around us are going to see the reasons for anxiety around us, and they're going to wonder, like, why in the world? That it's so weird that you would even be thankful right now. You ought to be like in the fetal position in the corner somewhere. Like, I don't even know how you're making it to work each day. Like, they're going to see that, and they are going to wonder why. But what they don't know is that through thankfulness, it's actually going to bring us out of that anxiety into the place of peace, because it is the peace giver who gets us there. But we don't get there without thanksgiving. This is a verse that has really impacted my life in so many powerful ways. I want to read this again because it's so good that we see this. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition," right? So let me just break this down. So when you are anxious, when you find yourself in a place of anxiety or a situation that is bringing anxiety in your life, then pray and call out to God. That's prayer and petition. Pray and call out to God. And I think all of us would say, oh yeah, Pastor, I'm with you there. When you're feeling stressed, pray to God. Absolutely. The next phrase is with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So it's not, hear this, it's a very different prayer, and so it's really important that we recognize this. It's one thing to be here and to see the reasons for anxiety all around us and to go to God and say, God, like, there's all this reason for anxiety out here. There are all these problems out here. There's all this conflict out here. There's all this stress out here. And God, I need you to do something about it. Right? Because the problem with that prayer is it doesn't identify anything beyond that anxiety. So it makes it seem as if the anxiety is the end of what there is. When the reality is that we know, based on every story found in Scripture, that our stress and even points of death, if you will, are never the end of the story with Jesus. Right? There's always life on the other side and new life on the other side. And so when we pray, just praying about that situation, just praying about those anxieties, right? Then really what we're doing is we're reminding ourselves of all those things that are keeping us from God's will without actually acknowledging God's will. And so then we're just kind of putting that back on ourselves. But when we choose to be thankful, what we're doing is we're looking past the anxiety to say, God, I thank you, Lord, that you have peace for me. I thank you, God, that you have spiritual maturity for me. I thank you, God, that you have restoration and healing. God, I thank you, God, that these points of anxiety are not all that there is, but I thank you, God, that you can take me through that into this place of peace and strength in my life. You see how different of a prayer that is? When you begin to speak thankfulness to God through your prayers, what you're doing is you're changing the focus of your prayer. And that's a really important shift to make. Because if we're not careful, our prayers might actually be causing us to stay where we've been instead of pushing us into God's will for us in Christ. I'm going to keep going. I'll let you catch up to that later on today. The problem is that without thankfulness, we can get stuck on the wrong side of our circumstances, right? So when things go bad and we aren't thankful, we get stuck in our bad and become overwhelmed that there's no other side. Right? We get stuck over here and we see these hard circumstances out there almost as if it's a wall that we can't break through, and we just settle into this idea that, well, this is just who I am, this is how my life is gonna be. I can't do anything about it and I can't go anywhere, and this is just life. I just gotta deal with it, right? And we get stuck in that, which unfortunately many times leads to even greater anxiety and depression and all of these kinds of things. Isolation, which is where the devil tries to attack us more than anything. Like, all of this over here is just breeding ground for the enemy to actually heap more lies and untruth into our life, right? However, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, I've told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Now, this is sort of weird here, but I want you to recognize that that is a promise from Jesus himself. All right? In this world, you will have trouble. That's from Jesus. So let me just clarify, for anybody who might be kind of new to following Jesus and everything, if you follow Jesus, you are going to have trouble in your life. Amen, Pastor. I'll do it myself. It's okay. It's all right. I know it's true. But watch this, though, because even if you don't follow Jesus, you're still going to have trouble in your life. You're just not going to have hope, right? I just want to make sure we're all clear here that just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through struggle. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be peaceful all the time. It doesn't mean that you aren't going to have reason for anxiety. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be people around you who lose their minds sometimes, because trust me, they do. Seems like they all talking to me, right? But Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See, Jesus is telling his disciples, like, hey, you guys got this mission that you got to go on. You got to be disciples to make disciples. And as you go, like God's will for you is that you live as disciple makers, that you're raising up the church through my presence and my power with you. And they're standing over here like, oh, but Jesus, I don't really know if I want to do that because it ain't working out so well for you, right? Like, this is before he went to the cross, but, I mean, they know it's coming too. Like they're dealing with all this pressure from the church and all this kind of stuff, and they got to be thinking in their minds, like, I don't know if I really want all that, right? And so they have all this reason for anxiety, and Jesus is telling them, like, even here now, like, you are going to have trouble. He's not trying to tell them, oh, this isn't even a big deal. Don't even worry about that. Just step over and just keep on going. No, he's telling them, you are going to have trouble. The point is, trouble is not the end of the story. Trouble is not the end of God's will for your life. Trouble is not what God has designed you for. No, what God has designed you for is on the other side of that trouble. And if you can just be thankful enough for what God is doing over there, it'll keep your focus to get through the trouble. You see that? It's weird, though, to be thankful for something that you're not sitting in right now. Right? That's like... So, I think I've mentioned this before, but in my house... We recognize that one of these days I would really like a truck, right? But not just any truck. I would like what we refer to as a papa truck. And a papa truck is just very simply a truck with like full back seats, right? The back door matches the front door, not any of these half cab kind of deals or whatever, like back door, front door, the whole deal. And it's been a great opportunity to be able to talk to my kids about what budgeting is all about and why it is that while we could afford a truck right now, we are choosing through the priorities of our lives and for them and that kind of stuff to not buy a truck right now because that's just not something that we are choosing to put into our budget. It's been a great conversation there. However, the reality is that I don't have a papa truck yet, right? But... I can be thankful that I still have something to drive, even if it ain't that, right? I can be thankful that I got kids that are healthy and educated and maybe one day are going to have a job where they can make enough money to buy me that truck. Hey, all right, amen, right? Amen. I picked the Sunday when all three of them were in here to be able to say that, right? Oh, I'm thankful. I don't have the truck yet, even though, you know, I probably can't say for sure whether it's God's will for my life or not, but if it is, let's just say it is, right? I don't have to let the fact that I'm driving around in a 1796 Toyota Yaris keep me from, it was one of the first ones ever made, trust me, all right? Right, Lil? It was one of the first ones ever made. I don't have to let that keep me from being thankful for the fact that I got something to drive. And that I you know what, that if I really wanted to, I guess I probably could go out and get it, right? Like, I can be thankful even though I don't have everything that I might really want, right? I mean, you know what, sometimes driving around that car, boy, there were cracks in the windshield of that car for the longest time. And it was just one of those things where when you're driving around Houston, you hate to fix the windshield because you know it's going to get cracked again another week, right? Right? I waited a year. That's actually not even a joke. You want to talk about weird. I waited a year to fix the windshield on that car because it was like all the way across, right? It was just replacing. There was no fixing this thing. And I just didn't want to fix it because I knew it was going to, as soon as I fixed it, I knew another rock was going to hit my windshield. I knew it, right? I could go around and kick the dirt all day long about the fact that I don't have what I really want, but the reality is that I do, like, God is pretty faithful, right? And so I can acknowledge the fact that, you know what, I'm going to have trouble in this world, but I don't have to let that be the end of my story. No, like Jesus is sending his disciples to accomplish great things for his glory. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, by the way, it'd be really interesting for you to go back and read chapter 11 sometime and just read about how those witnesses are described. But that's a whole nother thing. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. No matter how hard it is, we can always be thankful for Jesus. We can always be thankful that Jesus went all the way for us. We can always be thankful that death was not the end of Jesus. We can always be thankful that his most stressful moment was not the end of his story, but that there was actually not just peace on the other side of that, but there was resurrection power on the other side of that. There was healing on the other side of that. There was this call and this ministry on the other side of that. We can always look to Jesus, no matter how hard things are for us, and recognize that he never stopped. He never let anything keep him from accomplishing what we needed for our lives. He pressed on. He worked through those points of stress in order to get to what God's will is for us. Church, I'm just letting you know right now, you start thanking God for things when you're in really tough spots, and people around you are going to think that you have lost your mind. They're going to think you're that weird isn't even the word. But what they don't know is that Thanksgiving is actually getting you out of that spot. What they don't know is that Thanksgiving is actually an expression of faith. That Thanksgiving is actually an expression of recognizing that where you are is not the fulfillment of God's will in your life, but that there is still more to God's will in you and through you for others as well. They're going to see you, and they're going to see you thanking God even when it's hard, and they're going to wonder why you are so weird. Like, that's even weirder than having to eat two cookies at a time, right? But they don't know that thankfulness is actually the strategy that you're using to get out of that mess that you're in and into the fullness of God's will for your life. It's going to feel weird at first, but I'm telling you right now that as you dare to be thankful, you're going to be able to move through those points of stress and anxiety into places of peace and power and strength. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on up. And as they do, I want to challenge you today to really think about what you can give thanks for, not just because of a holiday, but I wonder what it is that you can thank God for that would lead you to the fulfillment of his purpose and his will in your life. Maybe there are some struggles that you're dealing with right now that you find it really hard to be thankful because of what you're going through. Maybe there's a relationship that is breaking down and you don't know how to be thankful for what's going on there. Maybe there's some stress at your job or with a spouse or a child. Maybe there's some things going on just inside of you and you're really, the devil is really kind of messing with you in terms of your own value and purpose and all these kinds of things. And maybe as you're thinking about these things, it's like, I don't know what I could even be thankful for. Well, I just want to encourage you, like we all have something to be thankful for. And it's amazing how when we start calling out that thankfulness to God, not only will people outside of the church think we're pretty weird, but we will also feel better. And we will also move closer to the fullness of what God's will is in our lives. I want you to stand with me. We're going to sing a couple of songs here. And as we do, I just want to invite you, Maybe you just want to take an opportunity to really just kind of lay before the Lord whatever situation you're going through, whatever that tough spot is. Maybe you don't know how to be thankful right now. Maybe that person that has really kind of messed you over, has really is kind of feels like that person's blocking you from being able to be thankful. Maybe what you need to do is just really submit yourself before God today and just say, you know what? I don't know how to be thankful, but God, I need you to lead me there because I can't stay in this place any longer. I know this is not the fullness of your will in my life, God, and I want to get where you want me to be. He can get you there. Thankfulness can get you there. But that is, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of dependence in him. Maybe you want to come to an altar of prayer and actually pray, God, I don't know what to do, but I need you to give me the power to be able to do it. Maybe you want to stop over at the prayer room and with somebody else, and maybe you can sit and talk and pray over there. Maybe you just want to meet with somebody right where you are. However you want to do it, I just want to encourage you. Don't just stay stuck in your stress here. Don't just stay stuck in your anxiety here. There's another option here. There's the rest of God's will for your life, and thankfulness is what can help us stay focused on that will in order that we don't get stuck in our mess. What is it that you might need to lay down before him? Where is it that you might need to be more thankful in order that you can realize the fullness of God's purpose and will in your life? Lord God, I thank you for working even now. And I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would bring to our minds those things that we need to do and to be in order that we might live in the fullness of your will. And I thank you even in advance for all that you are doing. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.